Tell Me a Story. It's a show about you. Now here's your host, astrologer Deborah Silverman on Empower Radio.
Here we are in the dead of winter. I am sitting here with a sunshiny woman of magnitude called Lisa Fabrica. Lisa and I are sharing the show today because we're going to talk about what it takes to allow the feminine principle to really have a full voice, what it takes to go past your fears or go past the inhibitions. We have such a backdrop in our history. I love to call it his story. In the history of all the men and the male energy, the patriarch, holding the feminine down. And now that we're doing her story, there's this incredible emergence of women. And if you go on the internet or you look at the entrepreneurs or you look at the coaches, there's this incredible swell of female energy coming up with such bright colors. So how I want to tell you how I met Lisa, such a great story. I was invited to present to a group of women. I had no idea who I was walking into in Boulder. My assistant had set this thing up. I was walking into a room full of people. I had all their charts, which I do often. And I'm sitting amongst a circle, and my job is to go around the circle and identify who each person is. And this is my crazy gift this life. I've been given the gift of having like X-ray vision, where I can look down at a chart and look up at somebody and be able to see the matrix or the constellations or the configurations that suggest this person's destiny. So it's a really radical approach. It makes no sense. I'm still in awe that the stars reveal so much information in such a short moment. And because I've become very equipped at looking at the cryptic language of Egyptian hieroglyphics and translating that into English and then into powerful impact of where someone's life gets changed, they invited me. So I walk into this room and there's this array of flowers. It was like these women were gorgeous. There was a whole circle of them in this beautiful old home that they had done like an Airbnb in Boulder. And as I went around the circle, I got to tell each person their cycles and the parts of their chart. And I got to Lisa. I vividly remember this, Lisa. I got to Lisa and I looked over and I was like, whoa. And it was almost as though I could see time travel. Like she wasn't in the zone as we were all sitting there. She was coming in and out. And I said to her, if you remember this, Lisa, you probably remember it better than I do. Like, oh, there's a high priestess in the room. She's, is that what the word I used? Is that what I said, Lisa?
Yes, I remember.
And that there was a quality of her timelessness. And I think there's many of you listening to the show today where you can feel that you meet someone, for example, and they're an old soul. And you start talking to them and very quickly you're finding yourself comforted or you're feeling soothed or you're telling them every secret you've ever had. Lisa's one of those people that it wouldn't take you very long to sit next to her and feel the windows or the doors opening into other worlds. And the next thing you know, you're spilling your beans, which wasn't my job at the time. But I then hired her and took her on. It was such an incredible experience. We did a bit of a trade and I got to have this experience first on the phone doing a session with her again, where she does what I do, but from a completely different source. And I'd love to hear from you, Lisa, where you source from in your words. But the short version is in one session with her, she accessed the mothership. Like she had me in the temple. I love this story. She had me in the temples in Egypt, where I was recognizing the part of myself who was clearly an astrologer of a long lineage, but it was really hard for me to interface with the world. And so part of my handicap was, how do I take this priestess and put her into the world where the management of the male, practical money, organization structure is going to give me a safety valve so that the priestess who of old lived in the temple with the door shut, being protected and provided by her court, now she's being asked to be on the internet and go do whatever it is, videos and podcasts and find herself out in the world. And it's such a major transition for many of us who are carrying magic. We're like, huh? How do I make this safe? And very quickly, she helped me bridge the access of my practical grounded, his name was Harold, a part of myself who was a practical business guy who was at the time very thin. If you remember that, Lisa asked me to visualize him, I was like, uh-oh, this guy isn't going to help anyone. And I realized what was handicapping me was my male side, as far as my ability to bridge, was way limited to the size of the feminine energy I was carrying. And I did create the bridge. And Lisa, to your benefit and to mine, I have now, since my business has, I don't know, quadrupled since we've met. And it was a very short, because I am one of those people that doesn't require a lot. All I needed was to be in her presence, have her touch, and quickly. And that is Lisa's gift this life.
She does magic.
And it is magic
when someone touches you and you find yourself remembering
and clearing and becoming able to actually interface with your world on its terms at a very high level. So Lisa, I'd love for you to, I'm going to read you. Let me read you this. I love this. This is her bio, and then we'll enter into our conversation. when it comes to doing your great work, and I love that you said that it's not just your work, but your great work in the world, Lisa has a simple philosophy. Every time you hold back, self-sabotage, and keep yourself from stepping into the leadership you know you were born to embody, you're affecting the fate of the world because you're removing a key player that's assisting in our evolution, and that would be you. So she's a truth-telling coach, a writer, and an innovator. She's devoted her life to making people get rid of the fear and the anxiety and the self-doubt so they can unleash, I love this, ready, how big she goes, their inner Gandhi, Mother Teresa, or Martin Luther King. I love that you're putting us in that category, and make our powerful impact in the world. One client described her as a courage curator, while others have declared her to be the secret weapon for the world's next great thought leaders. And I personally have experienced that, Lisa. I know you may not. We didn't have that much time together, but in a very short time, your influence allowed me freedom. So maybe you can just talk a little bit about
where you source, like how would you describe
the access or what your resource is that allows you to do this magic? How would you put it into words?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I think that, you know, one of the gifts I've always had, and it's, you know, I call it that I'm a seer. And I think there's a power to being witnessed, fully, like all the way deep down to your core. And, you know, when you come across those people, because I've come across people like that, that can see all the way down to who you really are and what your potential is. That is just a gift I have had. I was born with it. I kind of remember being very young and being able to just see right through a person. And I'm sure you would say that's probably my Scorpio rising there too. But it's a gift that I have, and it's to witness people. And so for me, what I've noticed is that I can quickly, as soon as I meet somebody, see right down to their potential, to the greatness that they could embody if they choose to. And then when people hire me, I sort of describe it as sort of like a priestessing, which to me, you know, being a priestess to me, well, it's several things, but part of being a seer and a priestess is not just witnessing and seeing a person, but when you are a witness and a seer to somebody, you also become a mirror. And so once you can see all the way down to them and to their truth and to the core, and you can see and hold the vision for them to really step into the greatness and embodying fully who they're here to be, then there's this thing that happens where people see it reflected back to you and back to them in your eyes, or they feel you stepping into that space with them, and they can't help but rise to that. Or it's sort of like a changing of a vibration. I read this really interesting article once about what it is to be a priestess, and they said basically that a priestess is able to feel around into her environment and feel the vibration that's happening in the room and change her vibration to radiate out into the room and match whatever is needed. And so I would describe, because I know you and I even sat in person at one point, and so what I feel I'm doing in those moments is seeing you, really seeing you, seeing past all the stuff that, you know, all the stuff in your ego that's telling you, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, whatever it might be. I don't really have any tolerance for that when I'm in my seer mode. And then from there, the priestess side of me begins to, it feels to me very often like a transmission coming from my stomach is the only way I could describe it. Somebody asked me once and I said, I just feel like I go in and I shoot something out from my stomach in the room and I shake everything up in the room and everything up inside of the person I'm working with, and then new stuff can emerge from that. So that's how I would describe what I do on a metaphysical level.
I'm looking at your chart, and I'm going to translate this into astrological terms. Mm-hmm. So when Lisa was born, she was born with all water. Her sun, her moon, and her rising sign are all water. And water is the x-ray machine. It doesn't get limited to the physical plane. Think about water, how it seeps into everything. It has pores. Every single thing that got dropped with water would absorb it. Water has this gift of being able to merge and become one with whatever it's in front of. So you have this incredible gift, but it's not just the seer. What I find with you is, and this is your double Scorpio, is that you penetrate the veneer right to the shadow.
Yes.
And then you're fearless. So if let's give an example. It's so much easier to talk English when we give examples. So I came in, I'm going to use myself as example. part of what's happened in my career over the last year is it's really taken off. It's astrologically described by my Saturn return, and I'm almost turning 60, so I'm turning around this corner, and all the years of my preparing have now bore fruit. But my unconscious mind, my fear factor, is I don't believe it's possible, it's not going to happen to me, and so it's sabotaged or created in my story. I would find people who I would become dependent upon, certainly men who were in business, not partners, but men. And I would give them all my power because I was a woman thinking, I can't do this. And my unconscious material was what? So working with you, it was almost like you took my, you took your magic wand is what it felt like. And very quickly you identified the sabotager without much time at all. One of the sabotaged issues, and this is what everyone has to deal with. We all have an unconscious mind who, believe it or not, its intention is to undermine your success in order for you to wake up inside the dream, claim the power that you deserve, and choose your life. I don't know who made that up, but it was a bad design. So part of what I think, Lisa, you do is you're an X-ray machine. You go in, you hover in, you sneak into the system, you find those little culprits, you bring them up forward, you name them, and then you are so fearless in the face of the dark, double Scorpio, that they can't stay around with Lisa in the room.
Yes, I feel often like I don't really have any tolerance for it. It almost, I'm sure you've experienced it, but when I experience someone's ego mind doing the stories, because I can see so clearly who the person truly is, because I can see so clearly what their greatness is, there's a part of me that's sort of like, what is this? What is this stuff here? Get rid of it. We don't have time for this stuff. So absolutely, you know, being able to the X-ray vision is sort of, it's two-tiered. Number one, it's going straight to the core of the issue and finding the real sabotager, right? The real saboteur. Because a lot of times, you know, we can't see ourselves very clearly, which is why it's so helpful to have a seer. Because, you know, in ancient times, people would travel miles and miles with gifts to see seers and help them see things they couldn't see. And it's helpful to have that. But then the next level of that is once we can identify the things that are blocking you, the stories that you're telling yourself, the things that are keeping you from really seeing who you're here to be, then there's this other level added where I can see your greatness, and then I turn into a mirror to reflect that back to you so that you can see it for yourself and create from that place.
I love that. And the example for me was very shortly in facing my gremlin, which was a dependent feminine, who thought there'd be a man coming in to wipe me off with his white horse, which was a businessman. I wasn't looking for a lover. I was looking for a businessman. And then once I realized, oh, I have to get on the horse. I can ride. Well, how about this? I'll use my spaceship, said the astrologer. Forget about all this old model. And I'll let myself start to use my magic. And it really has worked. I mean, it's kind of shocking to see when I look back. So anyone listening today, if you ask yourself, what is it that your neediness, and it's always about neediness, and or sabotager wants you to believe versus what you're capable of, of course you need a mirror and or a person to help you see the beauty and give you the momentum. And that is, once there's willingness, this is the thing I find in my work, whether you work with Lisa or not, whether you work with me or not, if you put the prayer out and you genuinely say, I want to be of value to this world, let my soul find her voice and give me hands that will be able to give the gift that I brought to the other. And let me do this with the ease and the joy of celebrating generosity. I mean, you can make up your own prayer, but as soon as you guys listening, as soon as you're ready to say, let me be of service, I promise the magic begins. Yeah. The other part I wanted to say, Lisa, about your chart, I love this, that what you said about, I have no tolerance. You have this very prominent Mercury. When you were born, right above your head, Mercury was on the midheaven at an exact degree in Leo. So while you're triple water, sun, moon, and rising, your mental construct, your promise, that whatever's on the midheaven of the chart, whatever was above your head at the moment of your birth, when they say you're born under a lucky star, for example, or in this case, born under a strong mind, your job, Lisa, this lifetime is to speak with a fiery tone, Leo, sing, speak, extreme celebration voice that says, I will not tolerate anything but fun or joy. So it's funny because your chart goes between being dark and dismal and having all the sensitivity to the celebratory, joyful, loud, where's the fun factor and don't get in my face. If you don't want to play with me, I'm going to push you over. Can you feel that split, Lisa?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. That's so very accurate.
Between water and fire. And for all of you out there that deal with depression or sadness or getting despairing. This is the cycle. I've got to watch, Lisa. Your cycle has obviously shifted, Lisa. I think I told you this. Jupiter's now in your 10th house. Your career is on fire. But last year, Saturn was squaring and taking your Scorpio and putting it down and making it sit.
Yeah.
And how was that for you?
Last year was the most difficult. When I would classify last year as one of those years I will remember when I'm very old, as one of the hardest years of my life. But what an amazing initiator. And I am twice the person that I was after going through last year. Saturn has been a very amazing teacher that I'm also very happy to say goodbye to. But no, I feel grateful to Saturn.
So all of you out there, anyone who's born under the sign of Sagittarius from like November 22nd to November 28th, you are in a Saturn cycle right now. Anybody born in 57 to 59, anybody born in 86 to 88. These are those cycles that this is what Lisa went through last year. She had a Saturn go across her sun and her moon. And Saturn's not very nice. Like, if you think it, and it's true what you said, it's always, I hate this, another one of those design faults, if you ask me, I think it was a mistake, that they teach lessons on Earth by making it difficult.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
get to see the merit of somebody's faith by testing them. I don't know who made this up. Why can't we just take a quick test, find out if we've got faith, and move on? No, it can last for a year to a year and a half, where everything will slow down, you'll be exhausted, you'll feel despaired, like you know, as Job said, have you left me? This question that even Jesus said, where art thou? And at that moment of total despair where you're scared, you then get to find what you're made out of. Can you do your meditation? Can you do your practice? Who are your real friends that you can reach out to? What do you do for your medicine? And so Lisa, as a triple water person, what did you do when you were under that much stress?
Oh my goodness. Well, I have to say, everything you're saying is exactly what happened. I had to reevaluate all my friendships. I had to reevaluate my purpose. I had to reevaluate all of my meaning and who I thought I was. All of that happened. And the way that I dealt with it was, well, I have to say that I really did a lot of self-care, a lot of self-care, and more than I have ever done. And I've always been a huge proponent of self-care. But I mean, you know, I really did it. And I remember a little voice inside of me, which is my intuition, said, you need to travel. And I thought, that's crazy, you know, because along with the squeeze that I was feeling emotionally and spiritually, I was having a financial squeeze too. And this was me. That was a huge ego shaker because my business has always been very successful and it was still successful, but we had higher expenses last year than ever before. And when I heard this little voice say travel, I thought, this makes no sense. This feels like being completely financially irresponsible. But, you know, I've learned enough now to know that when that voice says something, I better do it. So I did it. And I spent a lot of the year traveling. I went to lots of locations, which I found out later ended up being sacred locations with really amazing vibratory energy. And I have to say that my travels really were how I coped with the roughness of the year, because there was something about being outside, being in new places, being in land that does really the work on you because it's so powerful, that really allowed me to like bring in that new perspective that I think my soul was calling for me to bring in and get more real about who I was here to be. It gave me a lot of realizations about that. So it was self-care, it was travel. And honestly, it was a lot of downtime. Because I have Mercury in Leo, like you've pointed out to me, I can be very out there and visible and talking and super in your face and you see me everywhere. But I felt last year very much like I had to go within and not be writing as much stuff as I normally do and really, really be focusing on myself. So those were, I would say, the three things that I had to do to manage it. But it was not always easy. I would definitely wake up sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning in a panic, but that's just part of the process. And it shows you how strong you really are.
It's so human. So anyone listening to this, when you're in that down cycle, because it goes in rhythms, this is the gift of astrology. Everything has cycles. and everything goes up and everything goes down. Welcome to planet Earth. We got this thing called gravity. On my planet, we just float, but no, not down here. So up and down it goes. And if we can weather the cycles and understand when those winter cycles come in where you're supposed to stay in bed and do self-care. And in this case, it was so radical for Lisa to be told to travel, which is her nature, sun in the ninth house. That was her medicine in a time when financially things were not as lucrative, was so contrary to what the mind would say. But she listened to that voice. And I know a lot of you out there, it's like, how do you know the difference between your intuition talking and your fear talking? And your crazy mind talking. It's a very profound art. And Lisa has such a strong, with that Mercury sitting on the top of her chart, in such a positive aspect to Neptune. You've got a perfect trine. Neptune is the visionary. So her mental body is being supported by the visionary, which is Neptune is the other worlds, hearing voices that are being directly given to her from benevolent sources, angels and guides. So she could listen to that voice and has throughout, I bet, throughout your whole life. But some of us were like, huh? What did my voice say? And contrary to public opinion, your voice has to be discerned by your body. And I think one of the gifts, Lisa, you have is you're so visceral. Like you get a gut feeling immediately, right?
Yes, I feel it in my body. And I actually teach the people I work with that too, because, you know, everybody has, like you're saying, what I love that you're saying is everybody does have a different way of accessing their intuition. It would be irresponsible for me to come here and say, this is a step-by-step way that you access your intuition, because there's even different types of intuition. Some people feel it in their body. Some people feel it emotionally. There's all sorts of different ways. But for me, I've taught my clients many times to, when they're having a feeling or they think it's a calling or they think it's an intuitive like sense about something, I tell them, close your eyes and just feel where it's coming from in your body. And a lot of times I find that if it's coming from your head, it's actually an egotistical or it's an ego thing. Right. If it's coming from your gut, your second chakra, which is your lower belly, even sometimes in the heart area, usually it's something that's really aligned with your soul and it's actually your intuition speaking too. So yes, so definitely body.
This is the gift in this is so astrology. You're helping astrology learn about this very specific element called water. Water people don't get lost in their head, but they get lost in their emotional body, and they get lost in depression. They get lost in addiction. They get lost in longing. They get lost in sex. They get lost in anything that will take them out of their head. It's kind of funny. But in this case, the gift that you're displaying, which is clearly the high road, Lisa, is that you use your body and you teach how to use the body. And this is a very important skill for any of you who are highly emotional, how to distinguish between the negative talk of what I call dirty water, where the water has been contaminated by this stupid thought process in our collective that says, I don't like being alive and I don't like who I am and I don't like my body and I don't like my mother and blah, blah, blah. That negative talk prevents intuition. When you do the spiritual work to clean the water in meditation, when you learn the right use of self-care and really taking care of yourself, the system starts to become soft and alkaline. And it becomes balanced, drinking water, drinking tea, not doing caffeinated, not doing sugar, not doing alcohol. I know it sounds so spiritual, but the cleaner your system is, the easier access it has for you to get to that simple voice of knowing. And then you can go indulge again, because I bet now for you, Lisa, it's so easy for you to know what your gut is saying. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I have to add to what you're saying, that you're absolutely right, that the food that you're eating, the way you're moving your body. And that was part of the self-care that got me through last year. Last year, I couldn't control a lot of things, but I could control how I felt in my body. And so I was very careful to eat very cleanly and exercise regularly and drink a lot. I drank 3 liters of water a day. And so absolutely, it really helps a lot to make sure that, you know, you can't control everything, especially if you have so much water. And I definitely had some very depressed moments, the very down moments, and my emotions were all over the place. But it was that one thing I had, which was constantly just purifying my body and taking care of it through good stuff instead of adding on top of it by adding more stress, by putting more stress on your body and eating stuff that doesn't make you feel good.
So we have a minute left. We're going to take a break, but I want to really highlight this for anyone who's suffering. It's a cycle, and there's self-care. And for anyone who's intuitive and can't distinguish between that stupid voice and the truth, there's practices. And that's what we're here to do, is give answers. That's part of both of our roles, Lisa and I, to help you remember who you are and fall in love and say, oh my God, this life's become magic. We're back to the time of old where the priestess could come out from behind the curtain and say, you guys, let's go have a Starbucks. Okay, so we're going to have a break after this, and then we're going to come right back and we're going to get some concrete examples of how Lisa got her voice and how you can get yours. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Deborah Silverman, Tell Me a Story on Empower Radio. We'll be right back.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's
great.
Thank
you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
And now back to Tell Me a Story with Deborah Silverman on Empower Radio.
Okay, we have to just acknowledge that commercial break. What were those commercials? There was a dog inside of a room, and there was a man and a little boy. I'm confused. Okay, not to worry. We're back in here and now. Deborah Silverman, Lisa Fabergé. How do you say your name?
Fabergé.
I love that. Here's where I want to go now. There's people listening out there, and what I really want to find is permission to do concrete examples of whether it's clients or yourself. Let's start with you, Lisa. Where in your world, especially, I'm going to ask you a hard question. It would have been 2007, 2006, when you had your Saturn return. Cool. 2006. What was that like?
Oh, that was another rough transition.
Tell us.
Well, I made a series of decisions, somebody to date that my entire family did not agree with. I made a series of decisions. I left my job and I quit my job abruptly and I began to pursue my acting much more seriously, and I took a lower-paying job that would give me more flexibility. And I actually call that time the Great Schism, because it was wonderful in the sense that it was when I really learned to stand on my own two feet and be an individual apart from my family. I have a very conservative, rigid family in terms of the rules that you are supposed to follow. And I was doing everything completely different than the rules. So it was wonderful because it really taught me to stand on my own, to believe in myself, and to do things the way I was being guided to do them. But yeah, it was pretty rough. My whole family turned against me. I was getting horrible emails and calls on a daily basis. But I'm really glad it happened.
That was her window of Saturn return. And any of you listening, and I have a particular fascination with it this lifetime. Saturn is the planet of the teacher. And when it returns, which is between 28 and 30, he pushes you up to your edge. So this example of Lisa, where she had to, she's a Cancer. She had to challenge her family. And as a Scorpio, her whole definition of herself and her power and her sexuality and all of that got brought to the front. And then she had to stand by herself. And you know, they don't tell you this, but anyone who's doing a spiritual path, it's never easy. In fact, the more difficult, the bigger the spirit. Yeah. My theory is those people that come to my clients that tell me these really giant stories of where their family deserted them or abandoned or banished them or where they ended up being completely left alone. And then they find the muscles to be able to stand up and walk away and deal with their individuality. So as an astrologer, my job is to tell all of you, there's something specific you signed up for this life. There's no question that you gave yourself a permission slip to come on down here, because you don't get pushed on the bus. People think they're getting pushed, especially Scorpios. They're like, what am I doing here? But all of you have been asked to come down with an assignment, and the assignment is to evolve the species. And there's greatness that exists inside of your psyche that has something really extraordinary. But the question mark is, are you willing, and this is part of what we just heard from Lisa, are you willing to abandon, this is the nature of evolution, in order to grow, I don't know who made this up either, it's like winter, you have to lose all the leaves, everything has to go quiet, it has to get really dark and cold out, and you have to sit inside the house going, is there ever going to be spring again? And then suddenly, life changes, the winds change, the sun comes back up, we're in the middle of summer, the winds of life, and it's all orchestrated, you guys. And here's what's so love about astrology, is it's all orchestrated by a larger intelligence that's airtight perfect. So
I can say that too right now, my Saturn
one, and there's this, I think about you, Lisa, because I'm watching my career last year was peaking, it pitched, it reached this epic size. Now I am now becoming a teacher, and any of you interested in learning astrology at a very simple level, and Lisa, I so want to get you in one of those classes. There's a class starting in February of 2016. There'll be another class starting in June of 2016. There'll be another class. It'll be ongoing where you can come and learn how to be an astrologer when you grow up. And so it's been my dream my whole life was to collect enough information, and then I suddenly got the platform and I learned the technology and all the angels showed up in the nick of time, the women on my team, and it's like been so much grace. And I wake up in the middle of the night going, really? Do you believe this? Let me pinch you. And I go into doubt, and I have to say it out loud because it's just helpful to be human enough to say to you, and I've got to work with great success stories. And everyone along the way has to meet their gremlins. And as you know, Lisa, your chart is built for the war. You are a warrior with gremlins. You stand in the face of the negativity. That's what last year was. And I watched you going into what could look like depression if you weren't careful, or scared if you weren't careful, or distrust. And then you do self-care. I love your analogy for water people. You guys do self-care. Air people, we have to talk. Medicine for us is being able to use words with the therapist or with the coach. So that's a great time for air people. When you're feeling off the rhythm, that's when you go and you collect information and research. For earth people, your job during a down period or when Saturn's coming to get you is to tighten the ship and downsize and pull all the things down into simple practicality, but don't stop enjoying, because earth people can get so stingy, they lose it. What we want you to do, earth people, is be able to seek counsel about how much do you have and where is your budget, and then make sure you're not obsessing with what you don't have. That's what happens during a downtime for earth people, is God, do they worry. And then fire people, what their downside is
start to indulge. They'll spend too much money. They'll go and they'll travel. They'll drink too much. They'll be kind of promiscuous or irresponsible. It's the opposite. During a down cycle for a fire person is when they have to go exercise. They have to go create a ritual where they move energy through their body on a consistent basis, even when there's no results in hand, you can't see the results in front of you, but you've committed to the trust factor. So all of you that are in that window of, I'm scared, Saturn return, you just heard Lisa's, you have the opportunity, should you choose, to really give yourself permission to seek counsel, ask for help. Go look at Lisa's website. It's LISAFABREGA. See what she does. And she's going to say to you, I'm going to take you to the sky. And I want to really say this out loud. There are those of you listening who have a deep feeling that you do have something huge to contribute. I love the analogy of Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa. You know, let's go big. And then there's some of you who are less likely to go for that big, giant.
That's where I can come in. I love helping people at the ground level, where all you want is permission to be simple and to play it at the lower levels and not get caught in the comparison game. So there's a range. Lisa has a huge, with this Leo on her midheaven and Saturn and Leo on the top of her chart, she's saying, come on, shine. Let's turn life up. I love reading your Facebook entries, Lisa. I love watching the courage of you singing online. That's so amazing to me. The courage that Lisa has to let her Leo stand over her Cancer Scorpio, who says sit down, and actually stand up. I imagine that was not always so easy for you. Or was that always easy for you, Lisa?
No, it's definitely a battle, for sure.
And you've learned to say to your fire, it's okay, come on up and stand out. And
well, yes, because the alternative was that I would get sick. So again, my body would rebel when I wasn't standing out and doing the things that the ways I was feeling called to shine my life.
That's so helpful.
I would get sick. My body goes, I'm mad.
Exactly. That is so helpful. That is exactly
what water people do. They symptomize. They take on their external reflection by their physical symptoms. Very different than air. Air people get all confused and they're indecisive and they can't do relationships and all that they want. People get all obsessive and they all direct, you know, kind of a CD energy, and fire people go and drink too much and become addicted. But water people get symptoms in their bodies. And that's how they know their intuition is trying to talk to them, because the body never lies. So for all of you out there, here's the message.
Just trying to get your attention for you to fulfill your promise. You came in with a contract, with a chart. I'm interested, Lisa, to know, what was your original interest in astrology? How did that happen?
I think this is probably something that's in my 10th house, I think, that you pointed out to me, or maybe it's the 9th. I just love learning, and I don't even remember how I got into it, but I somehow stumbled across it through my normal devouring of information, and I remember the first chart I had read, I was working at a library, I was in college, and the woman who I was working with read my chart and told me all these really interesting things that were actually very true about me. And that's when I got hooked, because I thought, how interesting that this little circle can say so much about who I am, explain to me so many things that I never understood about myself in that way, and then even tell me some of the potentials that I could step into if I really, you know, claim my destiny and am willing to, you know, fulfill my calling.
So what you're saying is that the astrologer named some parts of yourself that was so fascinating you couldn't resist.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I love about astrology, Deborah, is that it allows me to understand myself on a deeper level, and it allows me to actually relate better with the people around me. So, you know, one thing you taught me with one of your videos is Aries, right? Like how to deal with Aries, because a Cancer is very hard to deal with an Aries. And, you know, just learning the traits of an Aries, learning those traits has allowed me to get along better with the Aries people in my life. So that's why I've always been fascinated by astrology, is it actually teaches me and it provides a lot of tools to be more in harmony in your life.
So let's just name that. So you're water, and that would be a fire sign. And I think that was your mom, if I remember correctly.
My mother is
and
an Aries.
And so naturally, you're going to feel the conflict between water wanting to be quiet and fire wanting to show up. So I really want to say, all of you out there that are listening, water people need permission to take time out and be quiet. But when there's a fire person around who's bold and loud and showing off and pushing you around, you've got to raise to the occasion. You've got to step up. Think of water as the ocean. And when the waves are strong, who beats fire? All you need is enough water to put the fire out. But that really does mean that you have to know enough about yourself. And this is the gift of astrology and why it is that I'm teaching. And being able to watch people has been my greatest pleasure, is seeing the level of the learning that happens. Because part of what it is there's a lack. This is what I think about you, Lisa, is you. There's a lack of remembrance. Obviously, in a past life, it's so clear to me. Some of you listening have strong remember. I call it recapitulating. You've come in with a memory of some past life. So if you're someone that loves to be outside and you love to have the peace pipe, or you love to have the quality of being in community and being in prayer, or you love to be able to think about hiking and being in nature, that would be American Indian. And that whole time period and those people are very simple and grounded, and they don't have high ambitions, and they're offended. Can you imagine by the computer? That would be an era of time in history when it was all about talking, and you used your word, and you lived in community, and you took care of each other. And those of us that don't understand what is this internet thing, I love when people say Facebook and they make that face. I'm like, you didn't get that part. That computer disk didn't get into your form. There's others of us who are more Atlantean or Egyptian or from the way past, who had high technology. And I can guarantee you that in the time of the Egyptians, when they were using the astrological doorway, there was a complete recognition that things were being moved around by this amazing, powerful sky that was cosmic. So for you, Lisa, as soon as you touched it, it felt to me like you learned it in a minute, or it came to you so naturally. Is that what happened?
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
And you have this wild moon conjunct Uranus. Do you know about that in your chart?
I think you told me a little bit about it, but I'd love to hear more.
So the moon is the intuition, which is very strong in your Scorpio, and Uranus represents electrical currents or energy that comes through from a higher source. So they called it, actually, when Uranus was found, they found electricity. So they still can't explain to this day why scientifically electricity works. It's kind of an abstract experience. Similarly, you get abstract knowings, electrical knowings that come through your gut that you absolutely, absolutely feel. And then if someone said to you, Lisa, that's not true, you're like, yes, it is. Like when you know something from your emotional realm, when it's been an electrical download, then no one should argue with Lisa. That must be true. I'm sure that's happened to you in your life, where, especially with clients. This is where I think you excel as a counselor, is that there's things that you know instinctively where there's no arguing and you don't know how you know them. Is that what it feels like?
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure.
Can you give us an example, Miss No Air, in your chart? Is there any client story you could tell us to make that come home where you knew intuitively something and felt it?
Well, you know, in terms of clients, what I notice is that they'll say something to me, and I can tell that in the part of their process where they're not ready to hear what I have to say to them. And sometimes I feel like I have to say it just so that it provokes a rebellion in them. And then the rebellion is actually what leads them to where I saw them going all along. So it's like this very interesting thing that happens in that sense. But I can tell you a great story about a friend of mine, which is this exact like electrical knowing. And this happens to me with my clients too, but I remember I was at Whole Foods standing in front of the kombucha, and I'm looking at the kombucha trying to find my favorite one. And all of a sudden, boom, right into my head, I hear, your friend's going to get fired tomorrow. And I said, what? Why am I having this thought? I haven't even thought about this friend in like 8 months. And I just kind of brush it off and I go off to the other section of this grocery store. Forget about it. The next morning, this exact friend calls me and goes, you would not believe it, I got fired today. I mean, that things like that happen to me all the time, all the time. I'll know if somebody's pregnant before they know it. Things like that happen all the time. But with clients, I'll see a future development as they're making a choice, and I either choose to share it or not, because sometimes it's not time for me to share it and they need to live it. But almost always when they disagree with me, I go, okay, so their process is to disagree with me so that they can fall on their, you know, behinds and learn the mistake. And then almost always it happens exactly like that. And then my job is just to hold space for them as they're going through the process. And then when they do arrive and realize the mistake they made, or that was a necessary part of the process, then I'll go, okay, so what were the lessons here, and how can we move forward?
I don't want to argue with Lisa. So there are those people that have this gift. I know what happens when I hear someone say that, like she heard a voice in the middle of Whole Foods. I love that story. And by the way, it's happened to me in my practice. There's times where I'm sitting with the client and suddenly their dead grandmother shows up and I'm saying, why is there a Japanese woman in the room? And they say, oh, that was my great grandmother. She was Japanese. And I'm wondering, those gifts that we have are directly related to the practice of keeping our system clean, being purified, doing our prayers. There is spiritual practices involved that allow the psychic ability to be that strong. And so people will often ask me too, Lisa, like, how do you know, especially on the radio shows, how do you know when someone's sister is going to get sick and I can see it and I don't know how I said it, but I heard it. It's because the angels trust us. And when they know that you're devoted, and I know that's true for you, Lisa, with your sacred objects and the way that you conduct your life and how you respect the body, this is all that life is asking of us. And it seems as though this old practice of listening, of being receptive, is old. Because in our society, look what we do. We're on the radio, we're bite-sized bits on the internet, we're using our texting, we've lost contact with our eyes. And yet, the quality of true depth knowing, as the seer would say, is because I saw and see that, Lisa, you have a relationship with the invisible world. You have dead friends. That would be a yes. You must have, you know who talks through you?
Yes, I've had lots of experiences. I choose not to flip that switch on a lot because I know if I switched it on, I would just get a lot of people trying to talk to me. So I tend to keep it off most of the time. I will feel visitors sometimes and I politely ask them to leave. Sometimes I will feel guides just come and hang out with me for a few days. And I just acknowledge them and just kind of say hello and I just kind of let them be there. I don't choose to talk to them a lot because I just don't feel drawn to it. And I prefer to, I don't know, there's something there. There's an inner knowing with me to just let them be and not talk with them yet. We'll see. Maybe in 10 years I'll be talking to them.
There are people that I work with, clients, and then there's people that I refer to that if you do have beings that you wish you could speak to on the other side, there are talented mediums. And just so you know, it's so wonderful that look where we are, 2016, we're talking about talking to dead people. We're talking about getting a gut reaction in the middle of Whole Foods. We're talking about astrology with I've got a microphone in my hand and a computer on my head. We are so in the new age. We are so in the Aquarian age and we are so allowed to come out from behind the curtain. And I love that, Lisa, that you have a moderator, that there's a governing force that says, you know what, I don't want all of this because it floods in and takes over. There is skills and there are people that can teach you skills. And I think one of your gifts, Lisa, is being able to give people experiences where they know magic is real. Like there's no way they could be around you and not know that's true.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
And that's certainly true here too. So I want to suggest to you guys to call or check in or find out ways and ask, do your prayers and ask ways that you can open up the door wider to your capacity to letting magic enter. And that was such a great example. So Lisa, and the other thing I wanted to hear you talk about a little bit was your music and your singing and how that came to.
You had the courage. I love listening to you. I saw you on Facebook. I listened to you sing. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I've been singing since I was a little girl. Actually, one of the first things I ever wrote and sang was when I was 6 years old. It was my own song that I wrote. And I've always been very drawn to music and have been very musical my whole life. And, you know, I had a lot of difficulty with it in the sense that I had a lot of resistance because I come from a family that's very much about becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a business person. And here I was this, you know, water kid who's like super artistic and painting and sculpting and singing. And so one of the resolutions I made for myself in the last several years, I have this terrible fear of singing. I'm a very good singer and I'm not afraid once I'm up there, but to me, singing is the most vulnerable thing I can possibly do. It is the most vulnerable. And, you know, my two planets in Virgo get very perfectionistic about my singing and the notes have to be perfect. And so as an exercise, I decided to push myself to the edge and continue to grow, that I would just record myself singing, put it on my Facebook pages, which have very high levels of engagement. So it forces me to get put in front of a lot of people real quickly on a video and just sing and not edit it, not retape it, just go straight from my gut and just sing right then and there so that I can get over this fear of public singing, which is basically just a fear of vulnerability. So I've been doing that a lot lately.
So let's just take a moment and talk about vulnerability, because that's really where I'd love to finish this talk with.
Yes, is a Cancer with double Scorpio. The compassion for your sensitivity. And would you describe it? Like, where does your, how would you describe your sensitivity? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Like,
I am sensitive on every single level. Sounds, fabrics, temperatures, all of it, all of it.
And does it feel like it's a distraction, or how have you made
it? No,
it
doesn't. It doesn't, because I've really worked, like what we have been talking about, I've really worked on my emotional internal fortitude, because I refuse to be a victim to my sensitivity. I think my sensitivity, and for all of us who are sensitive and have these abilities and abilities to feel, I think it's such a powerful gift, but I have met so many people who are so victimized by it because they don't have the tools to kind of harness it and remain powerful, grounded beings. And so I am very sensitive, but I create things in my life so that that sensitivity can be channeled properly. So for example, you know, it's very important for me. I realized I lived in New York for 10 years, New York City, and I realized after a while I cannot live in New York City. It's too much energetically for me. And as you become more sensitive and as you begin to do more of that work on yourself, you start to realize these things. So I haven't even flown into New York City for about 3 years, because the last time I flew in, I felt like my head was going to pop off just being there for 2 hours.
This is a really great bridge. I want to complete our call today with this. So Avana speaks great to water people. Says Lisa is such a healthy version. She listened to her body when her body said to her, we're going to not move. We're not going to live in New York. She listened to her body when it said, you need to travel. Her voice came through. And I want to encourage you that if you're a highly sensitive being, the translation of that means you're intuitive, that beings are trying to cuddle up to you and talk to you, that you have the healing gift of being able to soothe people, that people being around you get seen because you go beyond the physical world and you see into their soul. It means that you have the gift of being compassionate, that you really understand humans are not nice people at their general rule. But when you meet them at their heart level, every single one is longing to be seen and be touched. So what I see with Lisa is, because her chart is so extreme, Sun in Cancer with Jupiter on her Sun, extreme sensitivity, Moon in Scorpio with Uranus on her Moon, extreme intuition. And then Scorpio rising, her soul said, I will do nothing less than penetrate the veil with the intention of being authentic, which is why I love you, Lisa. I just can feel how much you push the edge and you speak to the unspeakable. It makes me so happy. It makes me feel like I'm not alone. So for all of you out there who wonder, what is this gift of sensitivity?
A class once, and this man, he was a Cancer, raised his hand and he said, would you tell me one positive thing about this stupid sign called Cancer? And I was like, you are a healer. And when you take this attitude that you're here to bless rather than be cursed by your sensitivity, it smells better, it tastes better, it touches softer, you have more appreciation for colors. Everything in this world becomes so much more strong for you. So don't get discouraged by sensitivity. It's a mixed blessing, and you may need counsel how to make it a gift. But it takes some deliberate consciousness, because based on our society, too much noise, too much stimulation, too much expectation, too much pressure, and the water person caves in and they become depressed, addicted, and they want to hide under the blankie. You wouldn't know that one, would you, Lisa?
Boundaries are your best friend when you are sensitive. Become champion of boundaries. That has saved me.
Boundaries are your best friend. So that's what I want you to know, that there is a skill set, and you can come learn astrology. You can come work with Lisa. There's teachers, and you'll let your intuition drive you to that. If you want to come learn astrology, you simply go to DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
You will find under learn this incredible, and I feel like a proud mama. I'm so excited.
You out there who are longing to know what to do. Today, the topic clearly was water with your sensitivity. It's what makes a good lover. It's what makes a good mom. It's why you guys love animals so much. They don't talk, but they're pure love. All water wants is for everyone to
shut up and cuddle. And do it from a spiritual angle, and then let the downloads begin, and pull out your tarot cards and pull out your divination cards and light your candles and put on your incense and have a glass of wine and soften the whole approach and go to Lisa's land. hello, Lisa, look, she's sitting in the middle of the water temple. So I just want to thank you today for being so spontaneous. We were obviously in the middle of creating this big project, and in came, oh, I need to have a great interview. And I thought, I know exactly who would be a great interviewer. Because your gift is your words, by the way. Lisa, I love reading your posts. You have a way of telling the truth and standing up to the dark or to the inauthentic and demanding we stand up and be real. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Deborah.
So glad that I got to meet you on that momentous day. You never know who you're going to meet today. So thank you all for listening. You're listening to Deborah Silverman and Lisa Fabrica. We're on Empowered. Station. Thanks for being here.